Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Funky Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm so relieved that Tay-Tay and Travis got married over the weekend.
Yeah, was there a live stream? Did you tune in?
No, and it's really weird because like there's not much of anything other than like written reports coming out.
Did they ban like phones and cameras?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody paid for exclusive rights to it.
Oh, like a Disney special on Disney Plus,
like
or something?
Like a Kardashian kind of scam. But apparently, like, the people on the guest list were basically told to be in New York City on the 3rd and wait further details.
But didn't everybody know it was happening at Madison Square Garden?
I don't know. Maybe some people who were invited don't really pay attention to that.
Yeah.
But, Adam Sandler married them. Thought that was kind of a weird thing.
I wonder why. I wonder why he was the choice.
I'm not sure. And he also sang them a custom song he wrote.
Oh, so the Hanukkah song, but rewritten to Travis and
Taylor's wedding.
Taylor?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very bizarre.
I mean, rich people, man. I wonder what the carbon toll was on everybody flying to New York for it.
I don't know. Apparently, they've been making big donations to, like, food kitchens and stuff.
Well, I guess that's good.
But I know a lot of businesses around Madison Square Garden were really pissed off because, you know, there are these barricades put up and the regular people couldn't get to them and they lost money. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
Jesus.
So good. So maybe we won't have to hear from them until she gets pregnant.
Maybe she already is. Maybe that's why they had to get married.
Maybe. Don't know.
That's why they sold the rights to the wedding so that they could get a bunch of money for when the kid is born. She can't perform.
Oh, there you go. Because I'm sure she's hurting for money if she were to take a year off.
I'm writing a new album, you know, based all around my baby.
Right. I would not be surprised.
Well, I mean, she wrote an album for everything else. Every failed relationship she had got an album, so.
Right. It's kind of sad when you become a product instead of an artist.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing now, isn't it? You're no longer an artist. You are a commodity.
Right.
You know, it's that thing of, like, your actors aren't getting roles because they're good. They're getting roles because they have X many Instagram followers.
Right.
So.
Right.
You know, when they hire for just, you know, actors, then you get Supergirl, then that fails at the box office.
Right. Well, that's okay. They're saying the new Minions movie was a failure too, so.
Oh,
she's
good.
A good company.
Okay.
Yeah. We had another week of Russians mysteriously falling out of windows again.
Oh, we did? I haven't.
Yeah, this time it was the finance minister for the military.
Oh. Whoops.
Fell out of a window. Oopsie.
I am convinced, though, that the guy that we talked about last week that disappeared from the Senate or Congress or whatever, the guy from New Jersey, listens to Dance Funky Dance because he showed back up right after that show. So he must have been like, oh, shit, even Dance Monkey Dance is talking about us. So I got to go back to work.
Well, if only Mitch McConnell listened to us.
Die.
Then he would rise from the dead.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if he's on that special medication that nobody else can get in the country.
Yeah, right?
Him and Trump.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you light off any fireworks for the 4th of July? Were you out with bottle rockets?
I did not.
No.
And the neighborhood was remarkably quiet for the most part.
Really? Is it like hotter than hell down there?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Is it like,
I mean,
they don't want to be outside?
It started about... Oh, it's disgusting. Oh, it's disgusting. It's like the gates of hell have opened wide to accept Mitch McConnell when he's officially done.
I mean, I guess it could be worse.
Even the great American. Yeah.
I was just about
even
to
the,
say.
Even the state fair was canceled because of all the heat and lack of people.
And then right when like they were going to line up for Trump's speech, then I guess God or whoever was like, no, I'm going to send storms in.
Right.
And like the night before he was at Mount Rushmore and the heavens opened up and they had like golf ball size hail.
Yep.
Like right before he was supposed to go on. It's like, maybe you should be taking this as like somebody doesn't want you here. What are the Republicans now saying? That the Democrats now control the weather?
Yes.
Yeah, come on.
Well, that's good because it used to be the Jews.
Yeah. It's moving up.
So now it's the Democrats.
Yeah, it's
Did you see the chunk of their stage falling during rehearsal on the dancers?
Yep, and almost killing the one girl. Yeah.
Well, I don't know because nobody seemed to really react to it that adversely.
There's one girl on the end that like jumps to the side, and
okay.
I gotta figure she was the closest one between where it fell.
Okay.
But I mean, whether you're, you know, setting up one of those or not, like there's a safety thing that has to be in place, like with the rigging and stuff that like, I know they probably handed it out to the lowest bidder, but like have some self-respect as a technician and make sure your shit's secure. Jesus Christ.
Well, and it didn't really look like it was anything heavy. Like it might have been like a piece of acoustic tile or something.
I thought it was a light. I thought it was like a flat panel light, but you might be right.
I don't know. It didn't look like it had much weight to it.
Okay.
And, you know, just like everything that happens in this government, it's no details.
Yep. It just is what it is.
Whatever. Yeah.
So is the fair over now? Do we have to stop? Can we stop listening to that nobody's going, or does that go on for a while? Because I didn't know if.
Thought it was till. Oh, it's till the 10th.
Of July?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Five more days. Through the end of the week.
Of bitching that nobody's going. Gotcha.
Right.
They're too busy pulling the shit out of the reflecting pool. That's why nobody's going.
Yeah, that's another thing that's messed up. It's like we've got another fucking TV host running the Department of Justice who said that guy deliberately sliced the liner, which there is no liner.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, what? My God, we are just too stupid. We're too stupid. It's time for the alien overlords to just show up, load us on their ships, turn us into meat, and just be done with it. Because it's not going to end well. It's not going to end peacefully.
No, I don't think so either.
You know, of course, now apparently during that, funeral in Iran for the supreme leader that Trump killed, they're not calling for his execution.
Good.
It's like, you know what? We've given you so many freaking bullseyes and you're not even acting on it. So, you know, I'll talk, no action.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd get to see the end of the world, but here we are.
There it is. Well, and I like all the like T-shirts and billboards that are like, you know, United States of America, 1776 to 2026. Like, oh, well, that's kind of telling.
Correct.
Yeah.
Although there are cracks in MAGA, because I was in Somerville, South Carolina this morning, which is like a big Trump area. And there was a billboard up that was like, want to know why gas prices are so high? And it was a big picture of him pointing to himself. So,
really?
Yeah. So I think that people are starting to really not support him, but I don't know what good that's going to do us.
But, interesting.
I mean, if it's even happening here in deep red fucking South Carolina.
Right.
You know, hopefully that's a marker of things to come, but I don't know. I don't know if I have any faith in humanity left.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Do you watch anything new this week that was not all doom and gloom?
Dude, I overcompensated for last week quite hard.
Oh, good.
So every 4th of July, I watch Jaws, because the main shark attack on the beach happens on 4th of July. So I consider it a 4th of July movie. But I happen to be on Reddit, and somebody had put up the first 10 minutes of a Roy Scheider movie that I had never seen before. And since Roy Scheider is in Jaws, and Jaws is one of my favorite films, I was like, I'm going to watch a mini marathon of Roy Scheider movies that some of which I've seen, some of which I haven't. And the one that was on Reddit that I had never seen before was All That Jazz.
I was just going to bring that up.
And it's interesting because of some of the health issues I've had recently. His health issues are because he's a drug addict and he's constantly smoking. But it was just a weird movie to start that on, based on the last couple of weeks of my life. Yeah, I had heard of All That Jazz. I did not realize that he was the main star in it. For anybody who hasn't seen it, it's about a choreographer / director in New York. It's supposed to be Bob Fosse, right? Fosse directed the movie, and it was supposed to be like him telling his own story. But it's basically them casting and then rehearsing a Broadway show up until the main character has some heart issues and winds up in the hospital. I liked it. I didn't go in with any expectations. Like, there was nothing in there. I hadn't read anything about it. I was just like, I'm just going to watch this. And there were some really confusing things in it. They keep cutting to Roy Scheider talking to this woman in white. And then it just cuts back to whatever's going on. And I was very confused at first of like, what is that? Like where does that play within the story? Is that him trying to, is that him talking to himself? Is that him like it's very abstract in the way that it's presented. Until the end. And then in the end you find out he's talking to like an angel and he's dead. Spoiler for a movie that came out in 1979. or was it earlier than that? Was this the early 70s? Mid 70s? I don't remember.
No, I think it was mid.
I don't remember if this was before or after Jaws, but you know,
79.
Okay. So yeah, I like it was I thought it was going to be one of those movies that I turned on and use as like a background for something else I was doing and kind of pay attention to it. Like, cause I do that sometimes.
Okay.
But I didn't. I sat there and I watched the whole thing and I was like, at the end, I was like, it was because of shit I had been through. Like I was like, oh, that was weirdly like kind of like soothing in a way. Not that like,
okay,
not that, but it was just a weird, like, here's the first 10 minutes on Reddit. And I watched the first 10 minutes and I was like, oh, cool. That's Roy Scheider. I've worked in enough theater things that like, this might be right up my alley. So yeah, that was the first thing I watched.
Okay.
And then by way of things that I had already seen, I watched Blue Thunder.
Okay.
Which I don't know if you've ever seen.
I think I actually have.
Okay. So he's a helicopter pilot in LA.
Yep.
Oh God, what's his name? Oh my God.
Ernest Borgnine.
No, that's Airwolf. The guy from Clockwork Orange.
Malcolm McDowell?
Malcolm McDowell is in it. He plays a guy that he was in Vietnam with, and they've got this new prototype helicopter that for some reason they have picked the LAPD to kind of test fly. But one of the cool things, it was made in the early 80s. Before like CG was really a thing, even like the visual effects in it are a little rough, but there are tons of shots where they basically put Roy Scheider, Malcolm McDowell, the other guy who was in The Wonder Years and Home Alone, Daniel Stern.
Okay.
He's in it as well. Where they basically put them in the front seat of a helicopter and they put a camera on them. And then there's tons of shots of them actually in the air.
Okay.
Like, and it looks like Roy Scheider is flying the helicopter, and the cinematography is phenomenal in this movie for like early 80s. And they built two of the Blue Thunder helicopters for the movie and they pushed them to the limit. They're like, the LA River is used at one point where they're flying under the bridges and like just crazy shit that they did for real. Like it's a really cool look at like 80s stunt work. You know, somebody listening hasn't seen it. But that's been one of my favorites since I was a kid. I grew up on Blue Thunder. So, that's always like a comfort movie. I also watched 2010, which is the sequel to 2001. Also a Roy Scheider film where he plays Dr. Floyd, who in 2001 was played by another actor, and he basically sends the Discovery to Jupiter to check out the monolith. And now he's got a chance to go find out what happened. It's got John Lithgow in it and Bob Balaban. Helen Mirren is in it as a Russian cosmonaut. And it's a less confusing movie than 2001. It tries to explain some of the things that Kubrick did in 2001. So that movie is more digestible than, you know, I don't know the last time you watched 2001 A Space Odyssey, but it gets super confusing at the end, especially even if you've seen it a couple times.
Right.
So then the other one that I watched that I hadn't seen was Marathon Man.
The original one?
Him and Dustin Hoffman.
Okay.
And I was not aware, again, spoiler for a movie from whatever year that came out in. Roy Scheider's not in it a whole lot. and he's gone about a quarter of the way through the film. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess this still counts as a Roy Scheider movie marathon. But that was an interesting look at, like, it takes place in New York in, I think it's the 70s. And it's just a whole lot of, like, the New York that I visited as a small child, when my parents would go into the city and they would bring us along, like, very reminiscent and nostalgic of, like, how New York used to be. So I thought that was interesting too. And that was it was another movie that I liked. I think Dustin Hoffman was a little over the top. He's very screamy at one point and, like, not the Dustin Hoffman that, like, I kind of grew up with, you know, in later films. And it's also got Laurence Olivier in it, who in a weird anecdote, he took the film because he had cancer and he wanted to leave his family some money, figuring that he wouldn't be around long after the film wrapped. And during the filmmaking, he couldn't remember a lot of lines all at once. So they had to do his scenes, like, one line at a time, or they had to figure out how to cut away from him and do all this stuff. And he was going through, I don't know if it was chemo or some other treatment, but at the end of filming, his cancer went into remission and he wound up living for, like, another 13 years and doing a ton more films. So I thought that was kind of an interesting little anecdote on top of, because I can't tell you how many Laurence Olivier movies I've seen. Maybe three.
Okay.
But I don't know. And he plays,
was Caligula one of them?
No. But he plays, like, a Nazi in this. He plays a Nazi in Marathon Man.
Okay.
So that was a little strange. Again,
it also had an interesting cast.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's actually an actor whose name is Ben Dova.
Yeah. 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 Very interesting. What, it wasn't a period piece at the time, but looking back at it now, very, like, right, nostalgic for the late 70s. And then yesterday I watched Jaws for 4th of July.
Nice.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
Well, I've been watching some very incredibly random movies.
Okay.
I started with Lucasfilm's, I guess, entry into computer animation. It was a movie called Strange Magic.
Okay.
That somebody told me was, like, the linchpin in the Disney deal. Like, part of the Disney deal was that Disney had to release and promote this movie.
Wait, what's it called?
And Strange Magic.
Okay.
Stars Alan Cumming, Alfred Molina, Evan Rachel Wood, and Maya Rudolph.
Okay.
The animation is beautiful. And I can see where they could have taken this had they not sold to Disney. And now, you know, we have Pixar and we have Disney Animation Studios and all these other things where, you know, it would just be doing competition with itself.
I think my kid has seen this movie. I kind of remember seeing some of this, like, passing by the TV.
Yeah, it was, Lucas said that it was Star Wars for girls.
Okay.
And I can definitely see that, because so it's kind of based on Romeo and Juliet, but not really.
Okay.
Alan Cumming plays the Bog King. So there's two kingdoms that are right next to each other, the Fairy Realm and the Bog Kingdom. Alfred Molina is the king of the fairies. and Evan Rachel Wood is his daughter, and then Alan Cumming is the King of the Bog, and Maya Rudolph is his mother.
Okay.
And there's sequences where he's against love. She finds her boyfriend cheating on her on their wedding day, and you know, they're both kind of like, fuck love, don't care. The girl accidentally wanders into the bog realm and gets chased, and one of her friends gets kind of one of her friends thinks that if he can find a certain flower petal, he can take it to the blue fairy who's being held prisoner by the bog king, who will create a love potion, and that would make his friend fall in love.
Okay.
And there are all these sequences that when the friend gets, you know, basically taken captive by the bog people, of her like training, and it's very much lightsaber training with like twigs and sticks, but it's like so right on the money.
Okay.
It's a jukebox musical.
Oh, okay.
So it's very odd, but it's kind of enjoyable. Like I said, the animation's really beautiful.
Okay.
But I watched that. And then I watched another movie that was really big when I was in high school called Eddie and the Cruisers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it wasn't what I remembered.
Okay.
So it's about a rock band, and they had a really popular soundtrack album where they're like cover songs and original songs that were all in that same vein of, you know, early 80s. Tom Berenger's in it, Alan Barkin's in it, Joey Pants is in it. But the whole plot is that Eddie has disappeared or died, and somebody has found out that he did one final set of recordings that nobody's been able to locate. So kind of members from the band and other people from in their circle have decided to start, you know, trying to find these tracks.
Yeah.
Very, very bizarre movie.
Huh.
Very bizarre. And then at the end, you see, spoiler, a very a much older Eddie watching all these news reports of himself and the missing tapes as he passes by a store window.
Didn't they make a sequel?
He's not dead. There was a sequel. Yes. Yes, there was.
Was the sequel any good or?
No, of course not. Of course not. Not at all.
Okay. That's funny.
It's just, I don't know. I thought I remembered that it was like a band movie. You know, it's just, you know, kind of like The Doors, where it's a movie about the, you know, looking back on the history of this imaginary band. And it was like totally different. It's like, oh, okay. Don't remember any of this. But yeah, that was on the menu.
Okay.
And then I watched The Sheep Detectives.
Oh, really?
And it was a really cute movie.
Okay.
Hugh Jackman is a shepherd who gets killed, and Nicholas Gazeltine, who's He-Man, is in it, has like this junior reporter for a local British newspaper, who's actually looking for like the town cultural fair, and it's like four tents set up in a courtyard.
Okay.
But then the murder happens, and people are so many different suspects. Hugh Jackman obviously dies.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart and Julia Louis-Dreyfus are both sheep.
Oh, okay.
I was really expecting Babe.
Okay.
And it seemed to have a little more substance than that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The animation of, like, the sheep is, like, really amazing.
Okay.
I mean, we've come so far.
They're not just putting peanut butter in their mouth and, like, having somebody, like, try to build in words to their mouth?
Pretty much, yeah. But it was just, like, a fun, mindless movie. It was kind of cute.
Nice.
And then the last thing I watched.
Yeah.
Which I really didn't have a lot of interest in watching this movie. Yeah. It's Project Hail Mary with Ryan Gosling. Have you seen that?
Yes.
I really got caught up in it. I was surprised. I was like, oh, there's this stupid CG puppet of a rock creature. And it's like, but the way they told the story was so cool because it kept kind of bouncing back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies from this year for sure. Yeah. It continues my thought that Ryan Gosling is one of the most underrated actors of this generation.
Yeah.
He's tasked with making this relationship between him and this Iridian, who is basically a big spider rock thing. He's got to really show the emotion of this friendship, and he does such a good job in this. I think the guy that was the voice of Rocky and also the main puppeteer deserves a lot more credit moving forward too, because he was able to bring Rocky to life in a way that, like, spoilers, there's a scene where you think Rocky is dying, and, like, I remember sitting in the theater, because I saw that in the theater, like, tearing up at the idea of, like, this rock character, like, laying there, like, maybe he's dying, and maybe that's what is going to push Ryan Gosling's character to finish the mission or whatever. It's like a heartwarming movie for, like what should have been, like, clinical science fiction.
Right.
And you look at it and you're like, holy shit, I was moved by this movie because of a puppet. And
right.
And I think that the guy that puppeteered Rocky should have a huge career moving forward. I really do.
Oh yeah.
And
I mean, a character that you have no frame of reference for.
Yeah. And it's cool because like, a lot of times in these science fiction movies, you get aliens that are just people with makeup on. You know, they Star Trek it. They put ridges on the nose, or, you know, they look like the stereotypical little gray guys with the big black eyes and, you know, whatever. This took an approach of life is not like what we know it on this planet. And he is basically a big rock who breathes something that Ryan Gosling can't breathe. And, you know, it was just so well done. And, like, it's the book is from the same guy that did The Martian. And The Martian is one of my other favorite all-time sci-fi movies. But, like, this, when I first saw it, I was like, I don't really know how I feel about, like, this compared to The Martian. But the more that I've rewatched Project Hail Mary, and the more that I'm like, this might be one of my favorites.
Right.
Like, it's just super well done. And yeah, Ryan Gosling is very underrated for some of the work that he's done. Like, I look back at some of his work and it's like, he should be way bigger than he is. But I also feel like he's incredibly humble at some point.
He's gotta be.
Yeah. I mean, some of the interviews I've seen with him where, like, you know, he's so he seems to be very thankful for the opportunities that he gets. And
right.
like he's funny in interviews and he seems to be very well adjusted, even having been like a kid actor and stuff. So.
Right.
Like his the marketing tour that they did for Blade Runner 2049, him and Harrison Ford had such great chemistry together while they were being interviewed that it was like, these guys should be doing more movies together because they're just super fun to watch.
Yeah.
And Ryan seems to be able to do that with a lot of people. I mean, Nice Guys with Russell Crowe was a really fun movie too. And it's like Russell Crowe, you hear all these horror stories about working with him, but like they seem to get along and have a good time. I guess I'm going to have to break down and watch Barbie.
Barbie is a thing.
Yeah, I've seen parts. But my kid keeps being like, you like Ryan Gosling, you should watch Barbie. It's like, I don't know.
You should watch Barbie followed by The Fall Guy.
I've seen The Fall Guy. I like The Fall Guy.
Okay.
Fall Guy was another one of those. I had no expectations going in and it was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh yeah. I mean, that could have been an old Burt Reynolds movie.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah. But, and the ending of Project Hail Mary, it's like, oh my God, because I was a little confused at first. It's like, so he makes it back to Earth.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very heartwarming story about a guy that basically has no friends, makes the best friend he's ever had. And it just happens to be an alien.
Right.
And I really did appreciate that section when he's trying to find him a voice on the computer.
Yes.
And he's like, Meryl Streep. And so Meryl Streep reads something in the movie. And yes. I was like, that is awesome that she was like, yeah, I'll do that. That's fine.
Of course.
And then Ryan's like, she can do anything.
Yeah.
So my kid did show me something yesterday that I hadn't seen before. And
okay.
You'll probably be like, you've never seen that before. I've always been resistant to it and I don't know why, but she showed me Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I was resistant. Other than like, I didn't want to watch a theater presentation that was like a history lesson.
Okay.
You know, like for me, like I want theater to be like escapism and like, you know, that kind of shit. And
yeah,
but I did enjoy it. I really did. I thought the writing was incredible. I thought the acting was incredible. And a lot of the actors, I understand why they did it, but like bringing actors back in the second act as different characters was yes. a little bit confusing at first.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the guy that played like Hamilton's best friend who gets killed at the end of like the first act.
Right.
And he was in, I think he was in, Ironheart. He was like the bad guy in Ironheart. He comes back as Hamilton's son. And I was like,
yes,
wait a minute. What? Because there's no, one of the things that I had to get used to very quickly was it's all sung. There is no,
right.
There's acting and then it breaks in the song. Everything is sung. And the first two numbers I was trying to play catch up as to what was going on, because I figured that they were going to stop and be like, okay, so now he's going to go to New York and he's going to run into these guys, but it's all sung. And I was like, wait, who are they? Okay. So the very beginning was a little confusing for me. The beginning of the second act was kind of confusing for me. Okay. But the songs and the storytelling were so original for a period piece that, like, I was very, very impressed. And I know that's old news to a lot of people. I know there's a lot of people that love Hamilton and stuff, but, like, it's still, like, for a first time viewer, it's still something to behold as far as, like, an overall experience. So it was good.
Well, good. In person,
yeah,
it's incredible.
Okay.
It's just incredible. And I saw it on tour.
Okay.
But and he's such a shitty human being.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's an asshole and he cheats on his wife, and it's like, you know, but then by the end of it, you kind of feel for him.
Yeah. So my kid at the end asked me a question. I guess, have you heard that the ending, the last song, where it's basically Hamilton's wife basically talking about what she does after his death and all the things that she accomplishes? And then there's that very last thing in the play is, like, she, like, screams. What does the scream represent to you? Because apparently it's open to interpretation. So I'm curious as to what you think.
You know, I don't really know.
Okay.
It was a button.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if it was that finally she's living her own life and she's making her place in this world. She's not the wife anymore.
Because my interpretation was that, like, as she's singing this, around her are, like, Hamilton's on stage. Her son is on stage. Like, all of these people that you followed, George Washington's on stage, is, like, in the background, and a lot of them are dressed in white. And what I thought was that is her final moments before she dies, of recounting the person she became after her husband died. And that last kind of yelp is her, like, last breath. But I mean, I don't know if that's a proper interpretation or not, but
I don't know. And the actress has said that that it's different every show.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Huh.
But yeah, there's theories out there.
And I also liked, what's his name from Frozen as the king. I thought every time he came
Jonathan
on,
Groff.
Yeah, I thought every time he came on, it was very funny and very, like, different and, like, broke up all of the heavy shit. And
I thought, boy, is he a wet talker.
Oh, I was just going to say that there's in the first time he comes out and sings, he like, projectile spits at one point, and he's got it's like dripping down his lips and stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, who would have known?
Yeah. Yeah, in person it's just an amazing work of theater.
Okay.
If you ever have the opportunity.
So it doesn't need to be like the original cast? Like,
not at all.
Okay.
No.
Huh.
Nope, not at all. I mean, it's great that the original cast has been preserved.
Yeah.
But I've seen a couple of different casts now, and they all do an amazing job.
Huh, okay.
And you might just see the son of somebody we know in it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Uh-huh. And I'm sure the stage mother would be there with him. And
he's in the touring group of Hamilton?
Yeah, he was.
Oh.
I don't know if he still is.
Jesus.
But yeah. Anyway. And then one other thing I watched is I stumbled upon the season 3 debut of Silo.
Oh, did that come out?
Yes.
Okay.
On Friday. It's very different.
Okay.
The story has jumped ahead a little bit. And I guess there's going to be a final fourth season that they've already started working on.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like Juliet has made it back inside the silo.
Yeah, she made it back at the end of last season.
Right. And this is kind of what happens post that. It doesn't like just pick up.
Okay.
Right at the end of the second season.
Okay.
So it's a little bit in the future, and the rebellion has been successful. Obviously, the head of IT, Tim Robbins, was put in the crematorium.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a little confusing to me. But I think it's a good way of keeping the storyline fresh.
Okay.
You know, like instead of just building on the last episode before this, I mean, and the other thing that I was kind of confused with was that it felt like it's been so long since we saw.
Yeah.
The last episode.
Yeah.
Of season 2. It's like, do I have to go like back and, you know, rewatch this whole thing? But yeah, I'll be interested to see what you think of this.
Yeah, because at the end of the last season, they also jumped back in time to before the silos existed.
Right.
And I think, I don't know if it's in the first episode or not, but like in the trailer for the season, there's indications that like there's going to be side stories of like back in the past. So,
yep.
How the silos came to be.
Yep.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of the third season of House of the Dragon this past week. And I was like, I don't remember anything that happened in season 2. And I don't have time to go back and watch the last episode. So I'm just going to roll with it.
Yeah.
And it's basically one giant fight scene for the opening episode. So I felt like there was enough exposition where I was like, okay, I kind of remember some of this, but I don't like a lot of it. I was just like, oh, dragons flying. And I just dealt with it that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that's all I watched. Do we have any prominent deaths this week?
No, but Danny Glover has Alzheimer's.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, that's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the statement that he put out was basically like, things are going to have to change. Well, you think? Like,
right.
Like, that's, you don't have a choice in that. What a shitty way to go, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows you that, like, money can't get you out of everything.
No. Nope. Maybe he could get a room with Bruce Willis and they could do like one last buddy comedy. Just put hidden cameras in there.
So Bruce Willis can't talk and it's just what's his name? Just walking around being like forgetting where he is. And Bruce Willis is trying to like explain to him what's going on without talking.
Right.
Kind of fucked up.
And he just keeps saying, I'm getting too old for this shit.
Yeah.
Keeps calling Bruce Mel.
Yeah. Getting too old for this shit, huh?
Yeah.
Funny.
But yeah, that's kind of about it.
All right. I guess we can end it there then. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Happy birthday, America.